A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 14. The scripture says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him," that is the Lord Jesus. "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. The bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." And so here, after these things that we've seen about in this chapter and chapter 12, and about the challenge of the Pharisees and the scribes about the Lord and his disciples going through the field and picking the corn and eating it on the Sabbath day, he challenges them about what the scripture says about David taking the show bread when there was a need, and not something that was manufactured, not something that was presumptuous on David's part. Our Lord is a compassionate God, a compassionate Lord. And then on the Sabbath day, there was a man with a withered hand there in the synagogue in the town to which they went. And the Lord asked him, he said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they wouldn't answer. There's a I think a parallel passage of this in the Gospels. I think maybe in the book of Mark. It's either in the Gospel of Mark or Gospel of John, where the Lord looked upon them in anger because they wouldn't say that it was good for this man that had this withered hand to be healed on the Sabbath day. The Lord made it very clear that it is right to do good. It's right to give life. And now understand, we are not to pursue the doing of good in lieu of worshiping, instead of worshiping the Lord on his day. Now, many get things confused that they say, "Well, I'm going to worship the Lord my way." No, we are to worship the Lord his way, the way that he says. And the first day of the week is the day of holy convocation. It's the day when the people are to come together, and in this day it's in his churches. And all are to meet together to worship the Lord on his day, the first day of the week. And the reason we do so on the first day of the week is because Jesus appeared alive unto his disciples after his death, burial, and resurrection on to his church on the first day of the week. And so that is the day of worship. That is the day of rest. That is the day of difference and coming away from our regular work. And through the week, 6 days shalt thou labor, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, make a difference. One of seven, it's been a principle from the beginning, from day one, so since our Lord created all things. And so the Lord heals this man, and he says unto them, that the, he is Lord of the Sabbath. It tells that in the Gospel of Luke in this account. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He made the day of rest, the day of worship for man, not man for the day. And these Pharisees were so caught up in their religion. And that's what religion does. Religion makes people cold. It makes people hard. Religion will find, cause and drive a person to no compassion. That's what religion does. And in the end, religion will not help a person when it comes time for them to die. Religion is cold. It will leave you. What you need and who you need is the Savior. Oh, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He will help you. He will deliver you, having saved a sinner and saved their soul at the time of death. Oh, He'll be ever, ever near. And during life, He will help. And during life, in obedience to Him and the love that we experience of our Lord and the joy of following Him and serving Him, not religion, but the Lord Jesus, a person, a relationship indeed. So then the Pharisees are holding counsel about how to destroy the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus gets away from them, as I read. And then he tells his disciples and the multitudes, that the people that he heals, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. This is that time of deference, that the Lord doesn't want any praise, any worship. He defers all to the Father, all to the Father. And at the end of his ministry, that won't be the case, because it's manifested that he is, it's fully manifested that he is God, and he doesn't become God. He's God from the beginning, from everlasting. And so he says, don't make him known. And then Matthew tells us that this passage in Isaiah is fulfilled in this. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, and he is chosen indeed of the Lord. He came meek and lowly as a servant. He came to serve, and he makes that very clear. My beloved, he is the only begotten Son of God, in whom my soul is well pleased. He's been obedient in every whit of everything the Father's given him to do. I will put my spirit upon him, and he has, and he will. The Lord Jesus will, as a man, will receive all of the Spirit of God, and has all of the Spirit of the Lord, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Not only Israel will he declare the truth, will he declare the plummet line of righteousness and justice and judgment, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. He will bring salvation. He shall not strive nor cry. And be honest with you, I don't understand exactly what that means. He didn't come wrathful. He didn't come in judgment, and he came as Savior first. What does it say? Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He'll preach and preach and preach, but there'll be very few that hear. A bruised reed shall he not break. And what I think of this is cattails. Cattails, then, as they're coming on to where the seeds, the head has turned that brown, that dark brown, and when you hit them in the fall, those cattails, the seeds of that cattail will fly. That brown part, it'll be revealed, the whiteness of those seeds. I trust you know about that. You take those cattails just a little bit before that time, and if you bend them over in their stem too far, it'll break the stem, and it'll bruise it, and then you can't stand it back up, can you? The Lord says, the Father says here, and this is quoted in Isaiah, he says, a bruised reed shall he not break. He is coming. He is coming so humble, so meek, so under self-control, wrath restrained, the judgment of God restrained because he's coming as Savior. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Along that same line, as a child, there were some different kinds of weeds that would grow around water that when they got dry enough, and maybe it was that stem of a cattail, you could burn it and it would just shrivel up and it would maintain its shape. But then if you just blew on it, it would cause it to float away. It says here, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He comes under control. He comes premeditated. He comes not to destroy men's lives, but to save. Not even a smoking flax will he put out or will he disturb. Coming very, very tenderly, very delicately compared to the judgment that he will bring in time to come at his second return, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And of course, that's the fulfilling of the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension to the Father, and then he will come back for his people, and then he will come back to the earth, and he will rule with a rod of iron. Victory will be his forevermore. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And it's so. Most of us, I would venture, that are under the hearing of this broadcast are not Jewish. We don't have a Jewish descendancy. If you're under the hearing of my voice and you're saved, being a Gentile, it's because of what the Lord Jesus has done and the purpose and plan of God. And not only would salvation come to his nation, because there were those Jews that were saved all along from the time that the Lord made the nation when he birthed her out of Egypt and brought her into the promised land by his servant Moses and brother Joshua. There's been Jews that have been saved all down through time. But he brought it not only to his people, to his nation, but he brought it to the Gentiles that were alienated and separated from God from a national standpoint. What a wondrous, wondrous Savior he is. It says here in verse number 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Then he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? You know, they knew about Messiah. They knew some about the scriptures that Messiah would be of the descendancy of David. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And so here they slam the Lord again, accusing him of the work, the mighty work of God and the Spirit of God in him and by him. They give that credit of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ unto Satan, Beelzebub. Lord willing, next time we'll take a look and see what the Lord says about this. It's very, very dangerous business. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.